It's time to shake out your money-making truth. You're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Have you ever wondered why some people work really hard for their money while others live lives of joy and abundance with seemingly little effort? You are about to learn powerful, tangible steps to shifting your mindset and connecting to your flow of money and abundance. Jennifer teaches you to connect to who you are at a soul level and how to use that connection to create a personal and specific relationship with money. Learn how money is a powerful tool to achieve your desires and your desires to then serve the world. So shake out your money-making truth right now. Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Bloom, host of Soul Wisdom Abundance, Create Wealth Through Spiritual Health here on Transformation Talk Radio. As always, I'm thrilled to be here and to be having the conversation. And it's a red letter day. Jennifer Rizzio's in the house. So it is a red letter day. And, you know, for those of you who are listening in, you're here, I'm hoping, because you're curious about doing money in a new way, being more conscious. And why do we want to be conscious around money? We want to be conscious around money because it creates more peace and it creates abundance that comes to us and stays in those ebbs and flows, but it stays as opposed to when we're unconscious and in our wounds and our pain and the money just goes away and it's not a lot of fun. So we don't want to do that anymore. All right, so today's conversation comes out of one of the main, I'll call it a pillar, when we're talking about the soul money relationship. And that is that money's of the divine. Right? It's one of the physical, tangible resources of divinity. And that's great until us in the spiritual community start saying things like, oh, well, divine is love. So then money is love. And that's true. And we'll talk about why we want that to be true. But when we're walking around as people in our day-to-day experiences, there's a lot of crap around money and love. There are a lot of tangles. And a lot of trauma, quite honestly. So who better to talk to about all of this than Jennifer Rizzio, who is the founder of Soul Language. She is a good friend. She is a colleague and an all-around swell gal. I don't know what else to say. I'll let you introduce yourself. So JU, just to keep it simple, JU, I'll be JV for today's recording. And how are you?
Good to have you. I'm good. It's great to be here. You know, I love chatting with you. And I always love to see what comes out of our mouths when we're together, because I think that's really cool. And, you know, I think that love and money are this sticky, icky thing. I mean, I think love, divine love versus human love has got enough stickiness to it. And then you throw some coinage in there and it's like a free for all. So I think it's really important that we talk about this subject. And I think it's important that people detangle it for themselves because they can fall into traps.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we get into the traps and we don't even know we're there, right? It's like wearing sunglasses on a sunny day and you don't realize that, you know, I suppose I should turn that analogy around, but you get used to what you're doing, right? And you don't realize that you're stuck in the muck. So, all right. So let's start this way. It's kind of a weird way to start, but I would like you to imagine that you're not wearing your spiritual hat, that you're not wearing your connection, which is ridiculous because we're always connected. But when you think of the stickiness of love and money, when you're outside of the, when you're not taking that 3,000 foot view of what money and love really means, what's the first sort of sticky thing that comes up for you?
Oh, well, you know, I think this happens a lot with family, you know, like, you know, my mom had a house fire in July, and it's a lot of growth and expansion, but we have an issue where she's not going to be in that house by the time her lease runs out, and there's money, how is she going to pay, and blah, 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 and I was taking on all of this responsibility about, you know, because I love my mother and I want her to be safe and you know, there was money involved and blah, blah. And I got myself into such a frenzy that I was screaming and crying all at the same time. And you know me, that's a rare thing.
Yeah, it is a rare thing.
And I asked my best friend, I was like, listen, I can't talk. And she's like, you know why my family is so good around money? I was like, why? She goes, because we take our feelings out of it. And I went, oh yeah, crap. I think that, you know, family and love and money can get really sticky and icky. And you go right into programming, right? Even the most practice of us all, I went right into programming. Like I didn't even pause. I was like right there. And since that conversation, I've been really pausing. I'd be like, okay, whatever. You know, so much as in, like, my mom had this bill from the condo. You can all hear me rolling my eyes about the water and the sewage and blah, blah, blah. And it's supposed to get paid every month, but we don't get a bill and it's online. Ah! And so it's 2 months and I was like, I'm just going to pay it. I'm not even going to ask her. I'm just going to pay it out of my own money. And I watched myself going, oh my God, she would be so mad. Oh my God, what if that's my, but, and I was like, whatever, I'm just going to pay it. Doot, 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 paid. And 4 minutes later, 4 minutes, because I timed it. a client was like, I want to do this with you. And it came back tenfold. And I was like, oh, okay. Got it. Right. And so I think that's the long answer to your question.
Well, and there's so much in there, right? So, well, family number one, we want our family to love us. And how do we measure that? As a kid, a lot of times you measured it by, did you get what you wanted? Right? You know, I remember this Christmas, and there was this really great, big, tall package for me behind the Christmas tree. And I was convinced it was a stereo. I wanted a stereo. I wanted a stereo really badly. So I was so excited for Christmas morning, and I go to open it up, and it's this corner shelf that matches. I have this really beautiful furniture from my grandmother, but it's this antique corner shelf.
Not a stereo.
Wasn't a stereo. Right. And it was this disappointment that A, they didn't read my mind, because did I say I wanted a stereo? No. Right. It was really confusing for me, because on the one hand, it was really fun and it was fun. They were thinking about that, but it wasn't what I wanted in that moment when I was 10 or 11. And, you know, I just, right. So we start to do this really weird measuring thing where, I mean, I knew they loved me, but
How could they not? My father was infamous. And I remember this situation where I guess I had to be 23, 24. And he lived down the Jersey Shore near my grandmother, his mother. And we were talking about TVs. I was like, yeah, I got this little like tiny black and white TV that sometimes you got to hit it to make it work. And he was like appalled. And he came over the next day with this big color TV. And he goes, don't tell Paula that was his wife. And my father would do that a lot. He would give you something and he'd be like, don't tell your mother. Don't tell Paula. Don't tell your grandmother. Don't tell your brother. And like, so there was all this like, I love you, but it's secret and there's money involved. And, you know, I got you this thing, but it's like hidden. And then that means, you know, there were all of these conditions around receiving, mm-hmm. you know, and that was just one side. And this is a whole over from me and my brother. My father can never wait to Christmas to give a gift, and we can't. We give like it's October. You want to know what you want? Let me give you what you want. Like, so you know, I think that is all tied up in this love and money, and it's human love, right? It's not the divine love, right? I can separate that out now, but as a kid, your parents are your world. They are your divinity. They are your little gods. And so they create all these structures and patterns that as you evolve tend to be really unsustainable. They create sustainable ones too, but You don't mind those as much.
Yes, yes, sustainable is fine. We never talk about those, right? And then I think for me, I can really see where those patterns fed over into what I started to expect out of my business, right? And am I receiving the kind of flow that I want? And if I'm not, is that a love issue, right? Do people not love me? Do they not love my message? And there's some really important questions to ask about marketing and all of those things. But I found it as the place that I would go to was, well, you know, they just don't love me as much as they love somebody else. And so therefore, what's wrong with me? Right. So it's really quickly that we get to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. I went the opposite. I don't do this anymore. I went the opposite way. Yeah. Like, if you don't love me, screw you. Get on my bus or get off. But someone else is going to come along, right? But that tends to be a little too warrior when I first started doing that, right? And now it's more of a no agenda, like, it's a more of an openness before. But I went the warrior, like, screw you if you don't like me, like that kind of thing.
Right, absolutely. And so I think one other tangle to put in here before we start talking about, you know, how to get out of it, is this the concept of power, right? Because I think that when we start to tangle up love and money and responsibility, then there's also this issue of, okay, well, if I just do this for you, right? Now we're introducing that element of my power, your power. And that gets icky very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly. I think, you know, this money equals power is this, and I'm not saying it's not true. You know, money does have a buying power, but money doesn't have a power. And I think so often people think that it does, and then anytime where money is mentioned, they fall into the, well, I am not powerful because I'm asking and I should have. It's, you know, it's really interesting when you come up with it, because I think that so often people don't understand that everyone has the same amount of power as everyone else on this planet. It's how you use it and how you focus it. And so I think so often they play this, I'm going to hold on to money. I'm, you know, not going to talk about money. I'm going to act like I don't need money, you know, and that creates all these little disconnections and separations. And then you have this push-pull with this relationship with money.
Right. And to use the word of the day, right? It's that love-hate relationship. I want you, but stay away. Or I love you, but I'm not supposed to love you. Or I love you, but can I trust you? Right. All of those, again, the human qualities that we're trying to put into a relationship that's divinely based.
Right.
Right. And so I, you know, and I've been talking about this a lot in the last couple of podcasts, but, you know, we really I think we try to keep a foot in two worlds a lot of times when we're sort of learning these divine concepts. I think we try to view what is divinity through our human ideas of what love is supposed to be or what money is supposed to be. And it's hard to do that. That we really need to, if it resonates, to step fully into that soul world, to be able to say, well, what does divine love really mean? What is that? And what can I anticipate out of a relationship that's based in divine love and money, which, as we talk about, has no free will? What can I really expect out of that?
Yeah, it's weird because when you're talking about it and when we move into that divine love, there is no polarity. It just all is. There's no right, wrong, good, bad. It's just a neutral state that feels very nurturing and very holding. And then when you put that towards anything, including the relationship with money, all of those, and you stay there, you might have to keep coming back there, but you focus that. All of the other stuff in your head that you're thinking about and trying to kind of, you know, figure out so you feel safe, they just all fall away. And you're there like, oh, all it just is. And it's a practice being state that our human words are so limited to describe it. And I think that's why it's so hard sometimes for people to get in the groove. And that's what I love about what you do with Soul Language and Money, because it gives them some tangibility around that so they can slide into that energy more and more.
Yeah, because and I'm a kinesthetic person. That's how I process information, right? That feeling in my body. But you really do need, it's easier, instead of saying the word need, it's a lot easier to experience divine love in your body than to think about it as a concept.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? I mean,
well, I always feel it as it's a feeling / video, like vision in my head. So I always feel it like being in a car with the top down, flying, like, you know, nothing. And so that's really cool. And then I can slide in there without a problem. And then in my body, it just feels like warm and gooey, like you're in the sun. So, you know, and I can, so also I utilize those times of knowing of that connection and feeling of that connection to bring me back easily. Because your body already knows it. You just have to keep activating and praying and playing with it.
Yeah, the activating it over and over again, that is so important. And to, ever since you introduced me to the concept of God goo, that word, that, you know, we're all part of the God goo, my vision of divine love is literally floating. It's pink. It's like pink cotton candy clouds.
Nice.
And I float there, and it's that I can let go of everything. I'm completely supported, and that I can call on, that's when I can call on that feeling of love. And then I can have that feeling of love in my body. And then I can be much more neutral. You know, even though love tends to push me up towards joy, it still is that neutral feeling of, it's all good.
Yeah, right? It's all good. And it sounds cliche to do that say that. But it's really, and it's very practical. I think that's why people don't, because they think, what am I going to do with this? Well, when you make a decision about money, from there, you make a decision from that place of goo-ness, and then it's just more ease and more grace rather than the death grip of control.
Right. And I think, you know, again, this is where we come out of our humanness. I think we think things have to be hard. I know. Oh, yeah. I carry plenty of warrior energy, and there's, you know, wow, I want the prize for the battle scars. At least that's how I used to be, right? I worked really hard. I did all these things, and now please give me my prize that I've won.
Cleared the field. Give me the shit. Give me the spoil. Give me the spoil. Yep. Like, I want my spoil.
So, yeah. Yeah. You know,
and it's just, I think so much that, you know, since I have been really coming from a place of internal freedom, right? I get the spoils and they're fun, but there's no need for the spoils, meaning the spoils are not filling a hole. And I think that that's what people do. When people do that, they're feeling that they're trying to fill that whole with either love or money, and sometimes both.
Absolutely. And when love isn't present, whether it's love with another person or love for ourselves, and trying to fill that hole with money. So for example, I was speaking on another podcast the other night, and the host said, so What do you think about people who, you know, it's coronavirus time and there's not a lot of things we can do. So, you know, we can't go out and get a hug from somebody. So we spend money on online. What do you think about that? Like, well, it's just one other way to fill a hole,
right?
I'm feeling, I'm bored. I'm lonely. I'm whatever. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with online shopping, but right. But when we're trying to fill that hole, it's never, ever going to give us the satisfaction long term.
Right.
That we would get in another way of being connected.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it's so weird because, you know, like, I'll get money sometimes, and I'll still do this. And I'm already like, okay, so we can pay off this bill and look, and we can do this and we can do this and look, there's that. And then we got the squirrel fund. And I just go, wait, let's just allow it to nurture and fully integrate it. And then let's tune in and see what we want to do with it. Instead of our mind racing to get to another goal. And I think people use money to do that as well.
Well, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of things in society that tell us what kind of goals we're supposed to have around money, right? You're supposed to have this much in retirement. You're supposed to have this much money in your savings account. You're supposed blah, blah, blah. Again, none of that's wrong. And yet we use it in a way that we end up beating ourselves up, right? We use it as this measuring stick that we hurt ourselves with instead of coming to that neutral place and saying, what do I want? What do I want? And recognizing that it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars are in your retirement account. That's not where your safety comes from. Right. I remember very clearly being in a group back in, I think it must have been 2008, one of the economic crashes. Right. And there was another woman there who, I don't know, maybe 10 years older than I was, and who was, she distraught because her retirement income had dropped by 50 or 70% or something. And, you know, it didn't matter that she was 30 years, 35 years from retirement and knew that things changed and whatever, but it was this hypothetical number being measured against a hypothetical idea of what she needed. And she was in literal pain over it. Right.
So and that's the way I was with the house and the blah, blah, blah. Like, I got physically ill, like, and you know, and it was really just about love and keeping my mother safe. And my mother is a 72 year old woman who has all of her faculties and is in charge of her own life. And, you know, but there was that moment of, oh my God, I need to take care of her. And if I'm being totally honest, like, I took care of her by doing the $200, but that was more of a, do I want to do this because this is the right thing to do for me and I want to play with this? Because there's this push-pull and I'm like, should I do it? Should I? I'm like, yeah, let's just like, let's take the charge out of it and see what happens.
Right. And do you have your permission to talk about your money languages?
Of course.
Right. So you carry caretaker as your axiom of quest in with money, right? So you're really playing in this world of what does love and money mean, right? But you're being supported through it and knowing that. So I should ask you, how does that support you when it comes to allowing yourself to be more neutral in situations, knowing that you carry the caretaker energy?
I think for me, when I get to let go and really decide what I want to do rather than needing to do something, it allows that money relationship for money for me to put in, knowing that no matter what, I will be taken care of. Because basically that's why I'm taking care of my mom, right? Because I don't want to feel bad or hurt or blah, 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 right? It's kind of not really about her. It's really about me. So when I'm more neutral with that, then money can go, oh, let's just, you know, step up and take care, you know, and allow money to that divinity, really, to step up and go, we got you, you know? And when you identified them, I was pissed.
Yeah, I know, I remember.
I was like, these are fundamentally three ones that I can tell you as the founder of Soul Language, but I've never gotten these languages. And, you know, and everyone throughout my life has always said, and it's been true, you're magical with money. You know, you're an alchemist. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. All, but only when I'm allowing it to really kind of take care of me, like not to force, to put love into that, to know that that relationship is fully caretaking, rather than trying to make it do something.
Right. Or right. Or getting the proof first.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Because I think that's what we look for. We look for the proof to say, oh yes, money loves me or money doesn't love me. I was just talking to a client this morning and she's like, oh yeah, people who get money easily are just lucky. I just haven't been lucky that way. Right. And she could recognize that was not where she wanted to be.
Right.
But when I asked the question, she was like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. Right. And so as if we can get more, the more neutral we can get, the more space we allow for money to flood in, love to flood in. And those tangles create resistance. It's a decent summary.
Yeah, beautifully said.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
We're done.
So I think what I would love for us to do, because we'll have to coming up to break here in just a moment. What I would love for us to do when we come back is maybe do a couple spur of the moment exercises to start to feel different.
Love it. Yeah? I'm all for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you let's go ahead and take break now. Y'all, you're listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance, and I am Jennifer Bloom, along with my guest Jennifer Rizzio, and we will be back in a moment to help untangle love and money. See you soon.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com. Get empowered.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Welcome back to Soul Wisdom Abundance. My brain. Welcome back to our conversation. I'm Jennifer Bloom. I have Jennifer Rizzio here. So, hey, before I forget, can you let people know where to find you, learn more about you?
Sure. They can find me at soullanguage.us. There's some fun audios there. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can find me on Facebook under the group called Spiritual Renegades, which is full of really cool, amazing people. And I have a podcast called Ask and Answered by Soul on iTunes. So you can check that out as well.
Super. Yeah, that Spiritual Renegades group is a good group of people.
Right?
Yeah, it's a really fun group of people. Highly recommend it. All right. So we're going to come back. We said we're going to do a couple of exercises. And there's one thing I want to say before I'll start with an exercise. But I want to bring one more thing in before I do that. And that is, I think that some people get confused a bit in thinking about love and money and saying, if I'm willing to take on, if I can believe that love is money, will I accidentally get too focused on money? Will I get so focused on money that it'll be to the exclusion of all things?
Well, they're confusing divine love and money with greed. And when you are in the consciousness of love, you are in the consciousness of love. Greed is another consciousness. So they're not one and the same. So the key, I think, to that is sacred practice and focus and evolving your consciousness.
Yeah, I agree. And I think let's use that. Actually, let's do an exercise just now around that. All right. So if you all are willing, and if you're someplace where you can lower your gaze or close your eyes, I'm going to invite you to do that.
Lower your gaze. I like that.
I know that in the new phase. Yes. All right. And just let yourself be present. Feel the ground beneath your feet and just let yourself be here in this moment with the two of us and just with your own divine energy. And as you breathe in, I'm going to ask you to bring your consciousness down into your heart center. So right into the center of your chest. Don't worry about how to, just ask divine intelligence to bring that consciousness down into your heart center. And as you're here, I'm going to invite you to notice this idea of love. And notice how that makes your body feel as you're down here in your heart center. And then let's ask divine intelligence to show you in your body what divine love feels like. And then let's ask divine intelligence to show you what greed feels like in your body. I won't leave you here. And then come back to divine love. And I just want you to notice how it feels. If it feels the same, if it feels different, if it feels intriguing, or which one feels better. And then let's just release all of that sense of greed and come back into the present moment and tell me what you noticed.
I noticed that when you were talking, the moment that you mentioned love, I kind of did my little Elvis thing with my lip and I laughed. And I felt really warm and like gooey. And then you said something else because I was totally in it. I don't even remember what you said. And I yawned. So I must have been holding something that wasn't love in my body. Mm. And this whole shiver went through my body, which hasn't happened in I can't even tell you how long. So I was like, oh, that's groovy. And then when we went, I'll go back to greed in a minute, but when we went back from greed to love, and after we opened my eyes, I was like, oh my God, the room is so bright. So tells me that, you know, I could have been a little more in the consciousness of love today, and now bingo, bango. And it just felt warm and gooey and like, okay, you, like you knew it. And then when you mentioned greed, I was like, it feels like throw up. It feels gross. It's green. It's like, I think I even made a face, like, cause I was like in my little love bubble. I was like, I could use a, like, I was like, I want one of those giant sugary lollipops, because, and I was like, okay, this is, I'm a little freaking myself out. But and then when you mentioned a greed, I was like, there was a visceral reaction. And so it's very clear that, you know, I don't think of money that way, you know, and that I hardly ever get that way, which is groovy. So it was a very kind of clear, like, this way and that way to really kind of keep you on the, so to speak, the straight and narrow. So right. I love that exercise.
Yeah, right. And I think that we get to try those things on, and we get to see, wait, that's not part of my essential nature, right? If that has nothing to do with it. And, you know, if there's something running around in your head about wanting is greedy, then that's just another place you get to explore, right? You get to say, thank you for that awareness. And what do I get to let go or activate, to use your language? But how am I going to unhook from this? And then, of course, there's always people to help if that's hard to do. But we get to use that as an opportunity, as opposed to beating ourselves up again, like, oh, crap, you know, this is still here. No, it is. And thank you for the awareness. And let's unhook that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, and I think most people have this knowledge of when they're being in a state, right? And, you know, and I think, as you would say, people do a lot of pre-suffering.
Right.
So they create all of this story and this trauma and this kind of energetic red carpet of what is possible or what they don't want. And they're missing all the opportunity to be in the flow.
Right. Right. There's this hypothetical idea that if we just bring up all the bad stuff, then that can't happen, or we're protected, right? I'm going to protect myself from it. And all we do is open ourselves up for more of it.
Yeah.
Even if nothing comes of it, you've spent that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, hour, day, week, month in pain when you didn't have to be, right?
Yeah. And it's, that's why I think practicing is so important, meaning being in that consciousness, because then when you are in that pain, the pain spiral, the shift happens quickly. And it's been a while since, it's been a very long time since I've had that breakdown that I had around that. Like, I can't even tell you the last time. And as it was happening, I was like, what? There's part of me that's going, what is happening? Right. But it was just showing where I felt separate. And that's all that's occurring.
Exactly. You know, and I notice it a lot less too. I have really been in the middle recently, updating all kinds of systems in my business. I'm looking at bringing a book out into being. So I've been looking at costs of a lot of things. And yesterday was one of those days where it was like all the costs had to be added up. And I freaked out. But my freak out lasted, I don't know, 10 minutes, 12 minutes. Cause I remember I was leaving and I was walking up the stairs and I'm like, Jennifer, you are in the problem. Enough. You know better than this. And I meant that from a place of love rather. Right. I don't mean that as a, you know, and I just asked, be the energy of the solution. And do I have all my answers yet? No, but I know they're coming. Right. And And I feel good. So, right, that spiral lasts quite a bit less.
Yeah, and right. That's the whole point, because people use money and love to try to feel good.
Right.
And it's never going to make you feel good, right? It's the internal that guides that system.
Right. So it's fun for resources to come in.
Totally.
But I don't want to have to depend on resources coming in order to feel good.
Right. That's because an addiction.
That is an addiction, and it's never going to last. I mean, yeah, it's great when somebody new signs up. It's great when business comes in, but that's never going to happen 24/7. I'd be so busy, I couldn't see straight, right? And so to be able to feel a sense of love now, to feel that love without needing to deserve it or needing to have earned it, any of those words that we use with money, offers me that opportunity to feel amazing now. And fun fact, as the more we feel in that place of love, the more we've opened ourselves up for flow, right? It's win-win-win. All right. So do you have an exercise you'd like to offer?
Sure. I'd be happy to. Okay. So everyone just, what did you say?
Lower your gaze.
I love that. Lower your gaze or close your eyes if you're in a safe location that you can do so. And I want you just to, there might be using words that you don't understand. That's okay. Just get on my bus. I want you to notice your central energetic channel that goes from your tailbone all the way to your top of your head. And I want you to ask divine intelligence to fill that central energetic channel with divine love. I want you to allow that divine love to go in all of those hidden spaces where you're holding on to any conflict around money. I want you to allow love to fill those gaps. Any pain and suffering that you've had around money, I want you to allow love to transform it. You can integrate the wisdom, but I want you to hand over the pain and suffering to love. Now I want you to allow that central energetic channel to extend to every fiber of your being. I want you to allow that energy of love and your new relationship with money, that is just love, to extend out into the universe. And I want you to watch it, feel it as it comes back to you tenfold. Then I want you to allow your soul, your heart, to share with you your new word for money. Your new relationship word around your relationship with love and money. And then I want you to ask divine intelligence to integrate all that you remember today with ease and with grace. And when you're ready, let's come back and talk about what you experienced.
Yummy. Okay. Yeah. So, well, first of all, just getting that energetic channel as a reminder, just nice and straight. It's something I ask for, especially before doing something like this, but just to really feel it and just be so grounded and so present. And just that space of radiating love. And I just, my whole body, I feel like a million miles wide in a really good way, right? And being able to, I love what you had to say about integrating the wisdom, but giving up the pain, right? Yeah. Give that pain up. That's going to be processing for some time, because that's really what we're doing here, right? Money is an amazing teacher. It's an amazing connector with divinity. We learn through money, we learn through our health, we learn through our relationships, but we don't have to do it with pain. Right. And I think that that's just something, it's been so ingrained in us that it has to hurt. You know, love hurts, money hurts. It just certainly doesn't have to be there. And my new word is, which has been building for a bit, but it's peace, right? Nice. That relationship, money is peace. And not because it's here, but because that's the sensation of it, right? That's the sensation.
Right. You know, the money doesn't, you know, it doesn't have free will. Doesn't have power over you. It's really what you want that relationship to be. And that's of course with everything on this planet, right? We're in a relationship with everything on this planet. And, you know, when the something has free will, the relationship's a little more difficult, but money doesn't have free will, everyone. So you get to really fully participate it and change it and transform it and allow it to be the amazing tool that it was designed to be, rather than a way for you to feel separate, because that's how most of us have used it.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And even if we can just start by allowing that relationship to come into some semblance of neutrality, because for most of us, if we haven't worked on it, there's a lot of conflict in our relationship with money. And as you said, right, money has no free will. We get to, from that place of neutrality, really get to accept that we're leading.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, I've had people say, well, that's scary to me. I don't know that I want to be in charge of my money. But because then there's that sense of responsibility that we were talking about before. Well, then I'm responsible. If I don't have it, it's my fault. And then again, right, where does that fall in relationship to your sense of divine love? Right. And that connection? It's right. There's something, it's so different. There's that dissonance between those two feelings. That's your clue to say, oh, wait a minute. I'm back in the old habits, in the old programming, because I get to ask and receive. I get to receive what I want.
Yeah. And for me, responsibility, you know, a long time ago, I changed that definition to how do I want to respond?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what do I want to add into that energetic field? You know, and I know that based on my soul languages with money, I can enter into that relationship with money, that divine resource is here to caretake for me. It is here to support me. It is here to allow me to create from a place of, yeah, that's going to happen. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, again, the person with the least amount of attachment is the most powerful person in the room, right? So that's what you want to do. And if you're in, you know, if you're in shame or you're in fear, like you said, let's go to neutrality. Don't try to go to love with money, because that's a huge jump and that's not fair to you.
Yeah, exactly. We get to take it in bite-sized chunks and we're building momentum at that point. You know, I think, again, we're waiting for the end result to say, oh yeah, that was that. That's the step I should be taking. If I take this step, then I expect this result. And if we just give ourselves permission to know that we're safe in the moment, and, you know, I'm not there anymore, but I've been in that spot where there's not enough, it doesn't feel like there's enough money, but if you give yourself permission to know that you're safe right now, no matter what, and then continue to take those tiny steps, you're creating what you want, as opposed to, I have to do it all with this next giant leap.
Yeah. That's like, you can't expect as a human to go from shame around money to love. That's a huge jump in consciousness. And I think that's why most money programs fail, because they are under the impression that you can do that, that you should be able to do that. No, right? Your patterns have been formed for years, decades, right? So allowing yourself that you can receive through those gradual shifts that result in a more sustainable relationship is really true transformation. It's transcendence. And it will create a lifetime of a new relationship rather than a blip in that relationship.
Exactly. And I think that if we can widen our goal, like, why not ask for a lasting relationship? Why not ask for that really sustainable, lasting relationship? We get to have that. I had to chuckle. I saw an ad on the television. I don't watch a lot of TV with ads anymore, but it was this man who was going to, he was so excited. He was, he loved his wife so much that he wanted to make dinner for her. So he goes to the gas station and picks up the ready to make meal, right? And that's a quick fix. That's like those money programs where they, you know, it's like, oh, just, you know, these five affirmations and, you know, or just think about what you want or whatever. Those are those quick fix things, you know. And in the ad, the wife comes home and she's so excited. And I'm thinking, he went to the gas station.
You're settling,
right? It's the one and done, right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think that too, when we really delve into that, into accepting it as a relationship, when I think of that soul money relationship, right? It's our relationship with the divine. It's our connection with the divine, connection with the soul of money, and the connection with ourselves. Yeah. And so, right. And so all three of those pieces come together for the lasting abundance, for the lasting peace. And we all deserve that.
Totally. In our house, Warner and I often say that we don't have a fly-by-night romance, right? Like it's long lasting, it's here to stay, right? So it's our joke when like I was supposed to go away this week and he's like, honey, we don't have a fly-by-night romance. It's okay. Like, and I think that's something I get to, you know, continue to bring to things. Like, it's not a fly-by-night. Like, this is a relationship that is sustainable, that you get to practice, you get to keep understanding what you want to put into it. You get to keep moving from unconscious to conscious with your soul language and money team and make it fun.
Oh, yeah.
I still love to write out all my bills. Every time I do it, I feel like a little kid. Like, I feel so important. I mean, I love it. Crazy.
Yeah. Tax season is the same way for me. I don't know. I maybe there's, I don't know, a little analytical.
Not that far yet.
Like, tick the boxes and you undo all of it, make it a system. But right, it needs to be fun. Because what relationship do you want to be in, but one that's fun?
I don't.
Right? Yeah. So if there were one last thing that you want to make sure people remember from our conversation today about money and love, what would it be?
That you're whole and complete. And anytime that you act that you're not, you're creating a codependence with that relationship.
Yeah.
And you're not in the consciousness of love. You're in some other consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and I would add on to that, that sense of wholeness and completeness is as simple to remember as closing your eyes and coming down into your heart and breathing. Right. And it doesn't have to be hard.
No.
None of this has to be a challenge. None of it has to be hard. And it gets to be easy. Even if what you're experiencing isn't ease right now, it does get to be easy as making those choices.
Beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you, Ms. Rizzio. I'm so happy that we had a chance to have this conversation today. I'm truly honored that you were here. And thank you for everything that you shared.
It's crazy that you're thanking me for me having the best time ever. thank you. Like, this is fun. This is what being in tune and having a community, this is what it's about. It's about having those people where you have fun talking to. Thank you.
And it's co-creation, right? I love it because we started off the conversation by saying, you know, you never know what's going to come out, right? But that's the best. When you get to play in that connected space, you just never know what's going to come out. So, all right. Well, again, thank you. And thank all of you for tuning here into Soul Wisdom Abundance. I'm Jennifer Bloom. And what I do is I help people heal their soul money relationship. If you are curious to learn more about your soul money relationship, I'm going to invite you to come to my website, which is jenniferbloom.com, and take the soul money relationship quiz. See how many times I can say soul money relationship in the last minute of our show. Take the quiz, and you're going to start to learn what goes into that relationship and how you can start to be more connected with each of the elements. And Soul Wisdom Abundance here, the podcast, we're live every Friday, the first and third Friday of the month. And in the next episode, I'm going to be talking to a really fascinating woman. We're talking about toxic positivity and toxic manifesting. So really interesting. So stay tuned for that. And until we all meet again, I wish you prosperous blessings. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Jennifer Bloom or listen to past shows, visit jenniferbloom.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Simply search Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.